Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Want to thank my most recent guest, a fine one, somewhat tardy in her exit, but she's still sighting the door. She is Sarah Godlewski. She is the Wisconsin State Treasurer and a U.S. senatorial candidate. We like Sarah. We appreciate her coming around. Hour two of this big show, though, you can be a part. Sorry we didn't sneak any calls in during Sarah's appearance, but if you've got comment, I think she's still listening at 844-967-2789. We'll go there next. Evan, also, we got some sound this hour. I understand. I'm looking for my sound tab. Let's talk about Donald Trump and his contemptuous nature for the courts. And now it's been upheld by the federal judge, or I guess in this case, a New York State judge, contempt of court. Thanks again, Sarah. So here is the article, the newest, hot off the presses from the Raw story. A New York judge has held Donald Trump in contempt of court. Well, he is contemptuous of the courts. Here's what this article reports, though. A New York judge on Monday said that he would hold former President Donald Trump in civil contempt of court. So he's not going to get his ass thrown in jail, per se, but in civil contempt of court for failure to produce documents that were subpoenaed by the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. Now, why wouldn't he want to give up those documents? Because they could very well be incriminating of the man. And I know that this is a civil suit, but this is against the Trump organ, effectively. If you're cooking the books, it means your actions are probably illegal. It's probably fraud, but anyways, back to the reporting here. At a hearing on Monday, Judge Arthur Engoron, and I'm going to spell that for you, E-N-G-O-R-R-O-N, Engoron heard arguments that Trump should be held in contempt because he refused to turn over documents about his business dealings. Yeah, because if he turns them over, he's going to be found guilty. Anyways, the Trump organization is suspected of fraudulently manipulating property values to obtain loans and tax deductions. And earlier this year, Trump was ordered to turn over the documents after he failed to quash the subpoena in court. Court said, give the documents. The court initially gave Trump until March 3rd to comply. The deadline was eventually extended to March 31st. Well, you know, yeah, we're near the end of April. Hence the contempt of court ruling. Mr. Trump, I know you take your business seriously, according to the judge, Engoron. I know you take your business seriously, and I take mine seriously. I hereby hold you in contempt, civil contempt, and fine you $10,000 per day. I wish that would sting a little bit more. I think that Trump can probably afford, at least for a few months, to sustain this sort of $10,000 a day. And eventually the judge may determine a higher fine, greater penalties. But of course, the greater penalty would be to actually provide the documents sought and give the evidence of the fraud that's been perpetrated. I think that's his greater fear. It's not the 10 G's. He's getting that from the sheeple each and every time he hits the money button on his email list. 844-967-2789. Gene, welcome. What do you got for us? Hello, Gene.
Am I on the air? Hello?
Are you Gene? You are. Welcome. What do you got?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear my name spelled, then I was just listening patiently. Hey, thanks so much for having the candidate from my area of the state. I'm so proud of her. I'll tell you something. She's an outstanding candidate. She's She's got brains. She's got spunk. She's got good communication skills. And we need more women leaders because, you know, they know how to take care of families and individuals and things like that. So
Jeannie, thank you so much, Krut. Let me ask you, does the fact that she is a female and the fact that there are a lot of men running for that office, does that give her, quote unquote, a lane to run in, Jeannie? If I believe like you that we need more female leaders, well, she's the only one in the race currently. It seems like she'd be your front runner, Jeannie. How do you feel about her as a candidate? There are lots of fine men in the race, but she's the only woman. Does that matter to you?
Well, I'll tell you something. If you put a beard and mustache on her and men's clothes, I'd still think that she had spunk, intelligence, and would be an outstanding leader. I think, you know, and this is kind of biased, sorry about this, but there's been so many biases against women, not you guys, not people with a D after their name. But there have been a lot from the people with the R after their name, and independents. You know, I've been independent my entire life, never joined a party, and we want more females, too, to represent, you know, the day-to-day stuff. Plus, she can kick butt and take numbers. I mean, she's on top of all aspects of what's going on in our country right now and in our state. She's just intelligent, guys. She knows what's going on. She's been involved in this stuff, and I'm impressed by her, and you know it takes a lot to impress me. So I had to call in, and, you know, and being a female kind of makes me feel good that there's, you know, an intelligent female, you know, up in the top there. So anyway, guys, I'm going on and on. I'm kind of mushy about this. I got to tell you, I'm excited about her. Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you're quite welcome, Jeannie. Thank you for listening. I wonder sometimes, do women have to be better? Do women have to be better? And I would say Sarah Godlewski is a better candidate than the vast number of candidates I've met. And I've been doing this show about 10 years. She's about as good as they come. Now, you know, is she the perfect candidate for you? I don't know. That's between you and your heart and the polling place. But I would say she is about as strong as a candidate as any candidate I've ever had the opportunity to interview. She is intelligent. She is message disciplined, and she knows what her message is. And I would say this, and I know this from my own experience. Sometimes the men are making it up. Sometimes they don't even bother preparing for debates and conversations of this sort. You know, they got their general concepts and they think they're going to do it on confidence and spunk and, you know, good firm handshake. Well, no doubt those are all important things. You know, who would you like to have a beer with? Well, Sarah told me it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not quite ready for a beer. I got a little more campaigning to do today. But I've had a couple of beers with Sarah Godlewski. She's a pretty fine beer companion. And I've had a couple of beers with damn near everyone in this field. And I'm not casting any aspersions on any of the other candidates here because I like many of them. But I like some better than others. And I think some are stronger than others. And if you haven't figured it out yet, I've said this many times. I think that Sarah Godlewski's got a lot of it. Whatever that it quality is, that's where intelligence meets charisma, meets message discipline. She's got a lot of it, and I think that she is bound for higher office, and I guess time will tell whether or not she wins the primary here. Because if she wins the primary, at least her internal polling suggests she would beat Ron Johnson in the head-to-head. And I suspect she would, or at least she would have as good a chance as any. Here's something that may surprise you. We'll turn to senatorial politics for just a minute. You know who's super duper high in his polling? You know who's got a lot of it currently in the polls, a lot of juice? Joe Manchin. That seems quite surprising to me. Joe Manchin's been a roadblock, been a hindrance to much of the Biden agenda. But back home, people love him for it? Question mark. He certainly benefited from, you know, high polling numbers, but let me read a little bit. This is not just about Manchin, but Manchin's got some of the highest popularity in the nation amongst U.S. senators, which stings a little for us progressives, but let me read. Senator Joe Manchin is among, well, I think I just said that, is among the most popular senators in the country after seeing his favorability skyrocket back home over the past year, according to analysis of survey data released Monday. Morning Consult found that even as Manchin has faced backlash from progressives nationally, about 57% of West Virginia voters viewed him favorably in surveys conducted in January through March. His popularity jumped 17 points, up 17, more than any other senator compared to the same period last year. And the poll found that Manchin's popularity particularly grew among independent and Republican voters. Well, that should be no shocker in West Virginia, where it dropped amongst Democrats. That should be no shocker as well. Now, Manchin, who declares himself a moderate, has frequently staked out positions that have found him at odds with the White House and progressive leaders on issues such as expanding the social safety net. The center has identified inflation is the primary concern when lawmakers have discussed large-scale spending proposals and has often worked to scale back proposals. Yes, I hear Joe Manchin also a favorite of industry. A lot of corporations packing him, if you know what I'm saying. More to the recent polling. At the top of the popularity rankings, who are the most popular senators in the United States amongst their own voters? John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming. John Thune, Republican of South Dakota. And here's one that should come as a surprise to no one listening to my voice. Bernie Sanders, state of Vermont. Once upon a time, I've only been politifacted one time in my whole life. And the statement I made that got me politifacted, a little old crudy, politifacted right here on the radio. I declared Bernie Sanders to be the most popular politician in the United States. And that was back in the 2017 timeframe. You know, after Joe Biden, well, before Joe Biden, I guess 17, that was after Trump won the presidency. Bernie had failed to win the primary. Obviously, Hillary Clinton had not won the presidency. But I made the bold claim Bernie Sanders, most popular politician in America. And as fate would have it, I was rated mostly true. Because apparently in one poll during that time frame when they rated my statement as mostly true, the former president, in this case Barack Obama, had one poll 1 point higher than my boy Bernie. I'm still calling him the most popular senator in America. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.